What's the key word there? 100%. 100%. It's not the dollar amount. It's the amount of our heart that God has. Hey, you might be brand new today. May not be sure there's any difference between Jesus and Buddha. You may be a long time churchgoer, but you got to know if you're here today, it's God, because God wants to push you, and we're pushing each other to get us to 100% Christ likeness. And I'm pretty excited to talk to you about what we're going to talk about today. And believe it or not, you're going to love this today. Just tell you right now. Go tell the person next to you, I'm going to love this today. Because I'm telling you right now, you're going to leave here going, oh, that was so good. That's what's going to happen today. So be happy right now. I'm just telling you, I'm projecting forward. Just be happy right now. That's the way it is. So let me pray for us. God, I thank you for the ability to talk about things that are transcendent and that are fun and that are deep and that are challenging. Because that's all of who you are, all that and more. Help me to accurately reflect you and to communicate your truth to your people. And I ask for your help to be wise and clear. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Totality. I've become somewhat of a geek, I guess. I never would have thought myself being a geek, but man, I love reading about NASA and the early space program. I've become a bit of an astronomer. I love, but one of my favorite things I've done the last few years, I've gone to 2 eclipses. Oh my gosh, amazing. Like I'm getting pretty geeky. Like I'm the kind of guy now that I would have picked on myself in high school, you know? Did a lot of things in high school I'm not proud of. Probably would have picked on the kid who had a pocket protector. And I'm about ready to start wearing a pocket protector with pens in it, just so you know. When I went and saw the last eclipse I did, you could stay local where you were if you're in the tri-state area here in Ohio or Indiana or Kentucky, or you could make a bit of a ride and you could get to where it was going to be a total eclipse. You might think, well, 99% is pretty good, but it's really not 100. This is what 99% looks like. 99% is, you know, it's like a little, oh, we've got a little crescent moon up there. It's a little darker at 2 o'clock than it should be. It's cool for sure. It's very, very cool. But if you haven't been to a total eclipse, it's nothing at all like 99, nothing. Because things go dark, the birds get fooled. They go, oh, I guess it's time to go to bed. The crickets, they go, oh, nighttime already. They start coming out. It drops in temperature immediately. It is crazy. And this is the way it is with many of us if we choose to follow Christ. We get pretty impressed with ourselves, like, man, I'm really good. I'm better than the person who's 75. I'm really awesome. Better, I don't know. God doesn't love you more because you're more than somebody else. But I'll tell you, when you get to 100, and no one's ever going to get to 100 as far as being sin-free, having no issues. But 100 means, oh, we say, I lay my whole life down. I am yours. I am on a journey, God. When you get to 100 is when things can change. Not 99, 100. And you say, everything that I have is yours, God, because you have given me everything. And it's a beautiful, profound thing. Abraham Kuyper was the prime minister of the Netherlands. And he said this. He says, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence of which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine, mine. Everything I have, everything you have is God's. He's entrusted all of it to us. And he knows it's all his. And I'm now talking just about your life. I'm not even talking about our stuff we've talked about getting on the table. I'm just talking about our life. We have to come to surrender to the truth that he says, I am his. He possesses me. And as long as I try to tug myself away from him or maintain my own sovereign identity, the longer I do that, the less peace I'm going to have that passes all understanding. The less fruit of the Spirit I'm going to have, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those things. Isaiah 54 has been a verse that I've shared with a number of people. I don't know if everyone heard it here. I want to give some different angles on this. This is a verse that is basically our theme in this push. In this push, I'm pushing on you right now. You're pushing on me. God's pushing on me. We're saying, hey, do you want more of God? Do you want more of his spirit? Do you want more of the plans that he has for your life? Do you want the possibility of seeing an awakening in your lifetime where the spirit of God moves over land and crazy things happen? Do you want that? We're pushing on that stuff. And Isaiah 54 has been a clear sign for us. Here's what it says. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and the left. Your children will possess nations and settle in their desolate cities. I want to give a few words and talk about these here. One is right this. Look at the first one here. Ooh, excuse me. Go away from me. There we go. Right here. Enlarge. 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 Going up there? It looks really cool right here. Really cool. Like there's a red circle. That less looks great. Okay. It looks cool to me. I'm having fun. All right, let's just talk about it. Let's talk through this right here. Enlarge the place of your tent. I don't know what's wrong, what the problem is with many of us who get really weird if something gets bigger in the kingdom of God. Like when something starts to grow, we go, something weird is happening over there. Now part of that is because large things and large churches, there have been some horrible scandals and stuff that's happened in large things and large churches. But understand, not more than smaller churches. Actually, way more scandals happen in smaller churches. I know a bit about this. This is kind of my industry. You just know about it in big churches because that's what gets publicized. And it's horrible. It's awful. But what's really awful is when God's people think that when something is growing and getting bigger, something is wrong. Let me ask you this. When your savings are growing and getting bigger, if that's happening with your paycheck or the savings, is that bad? If your muscles are growing and getting bigger, is that bad? If your family, if you have a family that's growing and getting bigger, is that bad? I'll tell you what, man, every time I see somebody at Crossroads who adopts a child, who fosters a child, and of course has their own child, geez, it is massive. Like, wow. You are enlarging your life. You're enlarging your heart. You're looking for that to grow. And here at Crossroads, we believe it's a good thing to be a part of something that is getting larger because Jesus said that's the way it should happen. He says, greater things will you do. Greater, that means includes larger. He said, go into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, the whole world. Why go the whole world? Because he wants more people in his family. That's why. The book of Acts says again and again, God added 3,000 people to their number that day. Why does he do that? Because it's a cause of celebration, enlarging, getting large. Your life, God having more of your life. Do you want God to have your life and your life to be enlarged? Because that's what happens when a person goes 100% to God. Your heart gets enlarged. Your compassion gets enlarged. Your actual resiliency gets enlarged. Your prayer life gets enlarged. Your ears to the voice of God gets enlarged. Now, the next one, enlarge the place of your, let's see if it works. Let's try it again. I believe. Give me that slide again. Give me that black slide up there. Come on. Come on. Let's do this. Enlarge the place of your tent. Ah! Okay, I'm circling tent. And nothing. Okay. Enlarge the place of your tent. Your tent is your territory. That's the place where you reside. That's the thing that you are responsible for. You have a tent, or as I'll call it, a territory that is yours. Your body is your territory. You're responsible for your body. You're responsible, if you have a family, for your family. You're responsible before God. It's God's family, but you're responsible for it. If you have a business, if you have accounts that you manage, that's your territory. And the image here is enlarging. God has always been enlarging his people. He told Abraham, enlarge your territory. Look at the stars up in the sky. You're going to outnumber them. We have a big tent at our base camp property. And this last year, we enlarged it. And it was a sign of this. How do you enlarge the tent, the meeting tent? Well, you go out there and you pull up the stakes. You pull up the stakes. You reconfigure the canvas and you stretch it out. You stretch it out and then you rehammer it down. You got to go through some disheveling to pull things up and hammer it down. We're doing disheveling here in our church right now. We're changing things because we are expanding the territory that God has given us. In fact, he's made it our territory. And you in your life, whenever you take new territory, whenever you want to expand your life or expand a sector in your life, it's going to mean uprooting some tent pegs that you thought before were just fine and you didn't want to do it. It's going to mean some change. Another key word that we have in all of this is your. Stretch out place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and the left, and your children will possess nations and settle in desolate cities. Six times, your. The idea is, again, your territory. Our church, we have four territories, four things that are our assignments, that are our territories, that we have. We believe we have a responsibility before God to expand. Now, they're not the kind of territories that you might think they are. Our territory is not teaching. Our territory is not music. There are some churches, their territory is music, and they have like, you know, gazillions of views of worship on YouTube. We don't. There's some people who have a territory of teaching, and everyone and their brother asks them to go speak at places and conferences, and they get nice speaker fees and all that. We don't get that. None of us get that here. All of us would love to have that. Maybe God will do it someday, but those things aren't our territories. There's actually four things where God has told us, we believe, and how do we say that? We've heard from him in the results that he's given us and the ideas he's given us and affirmation from prayer. Four things that God distinctly says, Crossroads, this is your territory. Your contribution to the kingdom, you're supposed to have a disproportionate impact in these areas. And God is asking us to enlarge it. We've been talking about those the whole time. The only one I'm going to talk about today is reach out. Reach out. Reach out is the things that we do outside of our buildings, outside our traditional ministries to help people who are hurting, to help people who are a little bit on the outs, to help people who've been given a bad hand, to help people who are in poverty, who are just in crisis mode, and they need the hands and feet of Jesus to come along and give a hand up more than just a handout. The body of Christ to come and be the love of God with skin on. And this is why the movement of Jesus is one of movement. It's called a movement because we're meant to be moving. We're not meant to be philosophers. We're not meant to be debaters. I know a lot of people who have the Christian banner who are philosophers and debaters. We're here at Crossroads. We're not philosophers and debaters. We're doers. We get stuff done around here. We go after things because we believe it's a core competency of God's people to be moving. Right now, whether you know it or not, you know, right now you're moving. Right now, you're like, no, I'm not. I'm sitting in a nice chair. No, you're moving. Right now, the earth is spinning, and you're moving at 492,126 miles an hour. Right now, you're moving. You just don't notice it because you're used to it. As you spiritually mature and as God pushes you into new territory, you will be stunned at how you won't even notice how often and frequently change happens because you'll be used to it. You'll be acclimated. But when you first start following Christ, like the smallest thing, like, oh my gosh, starting a prayer time, I don't know how to do that, it freaks me out. The smallest thing, like, I want to maybe read a chapter of the Bible a day, oh my gosh. But as you progress, as God starts to eclipse you more and more and he starts to push you, and you start to feel the fruit of it, you start naturally moving and doing things that you would have never thought you would have done before. Jesus says, my Father is always moving up into the present time, and I too am moving. We as a church, we move. We don't philosophize, we don't debate, we don't theorize, we move. We move and we expand because that's what the Bible says to do. We enlarge and we uproot things because we want a tent for more people to be under. And all of us in here, every site, someone before you made that decision and what that to give us the opportunity to do that. And then what happens is, as we come in, we have more capacity to bless and help more hurting people. By the way, we're doing everything we can to push you in here. everything. And I'm quite frankly a bit stunned that all of us aren't taking advantage of it. Like the material, we poured a lot of money into all the materials because we want to push you to new spiritual depths. And if you looked at them, you know, there isn't a single firm in New York City that we could have hired that would do better, more powerful spiritual content than that. The digital prayer experience is freaking amazing. Am I right? Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, do not just sit there and just come to a service and allow this to pass you by. God's moving and you need to get on, get in, and allow God to meet you exactly where you are. One of the ways we've been moving for a long time is by reaching people who have been in the rate-for-profit industry in India. It's the epicenter of the rate-for-profit industry, of little girls are kidnapped and put in slavery, or as their parents are deluded into thinking they can let their young daughter go with the person who's going to take them to the big city and get a stewardess job or some such thing. And God's just called us, and we've just been there and in this. And we've been in it for a long time. It's a territory of ours, and we're going to expand it today. And you're going to like this.
As we take a look at how God wants to expand his territory tenfold in our lives and through our church, we're intentionally taking a look back at a few stories to see how God has already been moving. This week, to protect the identity of the person sharing their story, we've actually decided not to post it here on YouTube. However, we still would love for you to hear this incredible story and how their life has been impacted by the investment that Crossroads has made, and how that transformation is changing an entire community on the other side of the globe. You can head to crossroads.net to watch this incredible story.
There's things that God wants to do maybe in you to enlarge your territory, to enlarge your tent. And when he gives us a dream and a vision, we don't need people to squelch that. We need people to fan life into that. By the way, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And it definitely doesn't mean it's going to be immediate. But it is biblical. It is the gospel way of Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew 19, 26, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible, especially when there's a person who's been eclipsed by 100% and they've been pushed that way. It's not possible if you play both sides of the fence. Not possible at all. It's not possible if you just play the Christian card to get your bus pass into heaven if you get taken out by a bread truck. That's not possible. No, not possible. It's possible for people who are dependent on God, put themselves in a place of being a 100%er. All in. And God never gives up on anybody. He's never going to give up on you, even if you're playing around with him, even if you're just checking the box. I got good news for you. He's never going to give up on you. He likes you where you are. He wants to push you, but he's thankful that you are here. He's thankful that you want to hear from him. Man, Kyle last week said so many amazing things, didn't he? Just amazing, amazing stuff. I don't know that I like Kyle talking about my age. I don't like that he pulled out, you know, a carton of Depends and implied that I need Depends in my ripe old age. I don't know, you know. I mean, when's it gonna stop? I mean, that just seems really, really rude. And I'm just gonna let Kyle have the last word. He's a good man. I'm gonna let him have the last word. After all, I am the bigger man. So I'm just gonna let him have the last word. But Kyle said something that was really profound. You know, he said, "What's it gonna take for you to trust your church?" And if we can't trust our church, we probably need to find one that we can trust. And here's the thing, we talk about this. You guys, this is kind of cool talking about this stuff when we've been around as a church now for 28 years. Those of you who've been around for any length, you know this. Let me just remind you of this. Everything we've ever said we would do, we've done it. Let me say it again. Everything we've ever said we would do, we've done it. 100%. You can't identify anything we said we were going to do that we didn't do. Now, some things we've done have been failures. We built the largest privately funded AIDS hospital in South Africa. That went for a while, and then it failed. We got some failures, but we're not blowing smoke up any of our rear ends right here to try to motivate giving. This is who we've been. And these territories we're expanding, we're not talking about maintaining these territories. You know, I've never been in a church, and I've been in a number of them, where when a roof goes out, when an HVAC unit goes out, when pavement goes out, when there's gonna be new carpet, where there hasn't been some sort of campaign or fundraising to buy the new roof. And that's understandable and that's fine. But you know, we've never done that here. We don't raise money to do basic maintenance. We put that in our budget and we deal with it, and it always sucks to write those bills, but we do that. And what that means is when we have these unique opportunities, we actually get to expand territory instead of just maintaining the territory that we have right now. It's really fun. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7 says this. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. I love this. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Part of how we're being pushed is to take on the value system of Jesus, and he is a sacrificial giver. He sacrificed by laying his life down on a cross. And when you come into the family of God, you learn to adhere to the values that are in our family, the family traditions, and that includes, from time to time, financial sacrifice. And that's why it says here, not reluctantly, because it never feels good, but not reluctantly realize, oh no, this kind of comes with a deal. With following Jesus comes with a deal. And not under compulsion, which is why we never tell anybody, there's never any such thing as a fair share. There's never any thermometer. There's never any like browbeating. There's never, here's your number. There's never anything like that. That would be compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is somebody who understands what they want to do before God in and of their own relationship with God. Sometimes a cheerful giver is a freaked out giver. We had an event the other night where people were able to make some commitments, some leaders ahead of time, and there was genuine tears with many, and I was having hugs with them, and it was, because it was daunting. It's daunting to be like Jesus. It is heavy, and it is rich, and it is beautiful. This chapter says, if you want to reap a bounty, you must sow a lot of seed. Holding back your seed doesn't give you more fruit. You've got to sow that seed. And so next week, we're going to end this journey. We're going to end this push with a really cool seed throwing exercise. You know what it's called? It's called a commitment card. That's what it's called. It's called a commitment. Good old fashioned commitment card. That's what it is. I just don't want you to freak you out too much. No surprises next week. I know you're all amazing. This is the history of Crossroads. You're all going to show up next week. We're probably going to have higher attendance than we have this week because that's who God calls here, because that's who we are, because we're doers here, because we do hard things here, because we want to sow seed in people's lives here. And you're going to get this card next week, and all you have to think about is this, is, man, what is it that God wants me, or that I want to tell God that I love him, to give above and beyond my regular giving? Regular giving is going to support all the things that we're doing, all the amazing ministries you all get to benefit, all the infrastructure for Thanksgiving food drive, all the utilities, all the carpeting, all the salaries of the people who disciple you and build into you, all the natural missions giving that we give on all kind of stuff that's really, all of the kids program, all that stuff. But we're going to give us ourselves the ability to expand our territory, the territory that God has given us, and he wants us to expand because it's ours. Because he's entrusted it to us. And I only had the opportunity to talk about one reach out thing today. I hope you read that brochure we had last week, and you're going to see how we're going to reach every single person in every prison in the entire United States. Yes, yes, God has given us big visions. And we have hope to believe and trust in him. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun to get beyond normal? Isn't it fun to stand in the path of the greats who have gone before us and go, man, I'm not just going to church, I'm being the church. I am creating and part of a movement that God is doing, and we all get to do that, and we all get to be equal because we all get to sow our seed. I'm gonna pray for us, and then I'm gonna have Justin, or the worship leader at your site, who's just gonna lead us in a little meditative moment, and then we're gonna be done. God, thank you for big visions, great visions. They're daunting, they're horse choking. I normally don't like them on the front end because I feel responsibility, but man, does it push me to a deeper place with you, which is so good and so rich. Father, would you prepare us for what you want from us next week and what you want for us next week? We lay our life down before you.
All praise to the Lord Most High. All praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, my High King of heaven, my King forever. All praise to the Lord Most High. All praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, the High King of heaven, my King forever. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life down before you. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life now is for you. So I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life down before you. And I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life now is for you.